Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by dating expert Allie Jackson and stand-up comedian Erica Spira. They are both the co-hosts of the podcast Finding Mr. Height, where they bring positive and practical advice to dating. So welcome, ladies. How are you? And thank you for joining.
Hi.
Hey, thank you for having us.
For those who are only listening to the audio, can we just like take turns introducing yourself so they get to know the voice and just a quick background of who you are and your relationship to New York City?
Totally. I'm Allie Jackson. I am one of the co-hosts of Finding Mr. Height, also at Finding Mr. Height on socials. I've lived in New York for almost 14 years.
Oh.
But I grew up in California, but when I first stepped foot here, it felt like home.
And Erica?
So I'm Erica. I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been doing comedy for about 10 years, and I also lived in New York for about 10. I recently moved to LA, and I'm originally from upstate New York, Binghamton area.
I went to Syracuse University, actually.
So my parents right went there. To Syracuse, so yeah. We're big Syracuse fans. So.
Love that. And then just a quick sentence of how you both met and started your podcast.
We actually met through podcasting. Mm-hmm. So I had Finding Mr. Height podcast previously with another co-host. And Erica has another podcast called Shooters Gotta Shoot. And we were on each other's pods. And then both of our co-hosts happened to be leaving around the same time. And we teamed up.
I love hearing that. I feel like timing is everything. So you guys speak a lot about dating and relationships on your podcast, and both of you are single, correct?
Currently single, yes.
And are you guys both using dating apps, or what's your current approach?
We've changed it up a bit recently, actually. I think we both got a little bit burnt out with apps. We started doing challenges on the pod, which are fun, that Allie and I give each other challenges to try something new. So something I challenged Allie to recently actually was she was going to an in-person thing. So my challenge was like introducing herself to like five guys at the thing. So we've both kind of been, I don't want to speak for Allie, but I feel like we both have kind of been more into trying more in real life things. That being said, we're both still on dating apps. So it's like yes and yes.
Yes and yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, Erica nailed it. I feel like I am still on dating apps, but I was just thinking this morning, I had a notification on Hinge and I actually audibly was like, ugh. Like, I don't even want to open it. Like, I see that someone's liked me and I don't even want to go see who it is. Like, that's like been more my mindset recently. And so, yeah, trying to say yes to more in-person stuff and then taking Erica's challenge to heart. Erica's really good at talking to people in the wild. This is one of her like super skills and I am not as good at it. So I've been trying to channel my inner Erica.
No, I love that you both are giving each other challenges, because I feel like with life in general, it's all about getting out of your comfort zone and trying something different and new, because why not? I would love to know when was your latest relationship?
Like the last person I called my boyfriend? 2020.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's been boyfriend. A boyfriend title 2019 for me, right before the pandemic. Yeah.
So would you consider that relationship to also be the latest breakup?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, but no. Yeah.
So elaborate. I would love to know your perspective on a breakup and the last person you were in a relationship with. And I'll chime in my opinion of why I believe those two are different. But I would love to hear from you guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a breakup has to be an quote unquote official relationship. I mean, honestly, I've had friend breakups too. Like I think like lowercase r relationships can also be broken up. And I definitely, when I have ended things with a guy, I wouldn't say this after like a date, but like when I've ended things with a guy that I've been seeing consistently, I've absolutely said, oh yeah, I broke up with so-and-so, or he broke up with me, or whatever it is. I've definitely used those words. And I will say that I have been sadder about breakups of people I was never officially dating than people I was.
That's interesting, right? Because I feel like sometimes in relationships, it should have ended before it actually does. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's my opinion, but I feel like when you're dating somebody and the breakup happens, it's actually very timely. Like, it makes sense why you're ending something with somebody. But in a relationship, when you have history and you have all these other external factors that play in, whether it's, you know, meeting the family or like other aspects, it's much harder to end things with that person. But Erica, I would love to know about you. What was your last breakup?
My last breakup of something ending would be, it was right before I moved to LA. It was like end of April about then. I think why it's like murky of what is a breakup is because our generation has now added different stages of relationships. Like, a lot of people get into the exclusivity, but they're not your boyfriend. But it's like, you know, uppercase R, lowercase R relationship. I'm like, if there needs to be some sort of breakup conversation, then it is a relationship of some kind, right? So it's like, not to discredit.
That's a good point.
And I agree with you where like the breakups that were usually the hardest were the ones that are only a few months, because partly you're still in this like honeymoon phase and things are still good in a way that like, if you were to actually date that person a year, you probably would have come to the same conclusion. But you would have just had more concrete things that you're like, and this also didn't work, and we weren't compatible with this. But like, when it's just the exciting stage where you're just excited that you like someone and they like you back, and you're looking forward to seeing them, you know, once a week or whatever it is, twice a week, it's like, then all of a sudden that drops. And I think another part to it too is like, when you are single for a long time, finally having that and feeling like something's working, and then it's like it gets taken away from you, is such a like just like punch to the gut feeling where you're just like, oh, I just had that thing and now I'm like back to being by myself, you know?
It's like the what ifs have really gotten to me of like, I never got to find out if he sucked.
Yeah, really, you know? They're like little things that annoy you and you're like, if I continued dating him a year, that would have just gotten worse, those annoying freaking things. But it's interesting that like I've had the breakup conversation and then someone's like, well, he wasn't your boyfriend. It's like, well, if they're not your boyfriend / or it wasn't a relationship, it's like, then why was a conversation needed?
Right.
It's like, it was a relationship of some kind.
I like that framework. I haven't thought about it that way before of like, yeah, if we could have just parted ways without anybody saying anything, then, oh my gosh, I like that. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Or it's like, okay, he wasn't my boyfriend, but we were dating.
Mm-hmm. You were in a relationship.
We were dating. Yes. Right. My feelings were invested. How about that? Is that valid? That like my feelings got invested? So, okay, he wasn't my boyfriend. Sure. Was it still not a breakup? No. You know?
Okay. So after you end things with somebody, personally, I've had situations where I've dated somebody and it's been wonderful, right? Let's say we enjoy 2 months together, 3 months, and we didn't have a breakup conversation, but we mutually somewhat agree that we wouldn't see each other. Is that just a weird scenario for me, or have either one of you experienced that?
Well, so we have on the pod something we call a moo, which is a mutual opt out.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what we like, had.
Where no, just nobody reaches out and you're both just like on the same page. For me though, that it's been rare or maybe even non-existent that's happened after like more than a couple dates.
Yeah.
Where neither of you reached out is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Afterwards. But I feel like it was just like a mutual thing. Like, we just had a mutual feeling that things were going to end.
How long had that been?
Like 2 months of dating.
Wow.
I know. I don't know. Maybe that was, I just thought about that after you were talking about having that talk. And I was like, actually, I didn't have that talk with every single guy I've ended things with. So it's interesting. Okay, so looking back at your breakups or relationship, what is the biggest takeaway you've had?
I think I'm thinking back to my last like official relationship ending, and we, so just quick context, we started dating in February, like early February 2020. So we were very, very new when the pandemic hit, although we had like already said, I love you. That's a whole different story. But because of the pandemic and because of a lot of the things that were going on in 2020, it brought up a lot more like values oriented conversations that historically I hadn't had that early, like a couple months in. And we were not aligned. And ultimately the reason we broke up is because we had significant, significant value differences. And that taught me that I need to have those conversations sooner and like put my values more at the forefront of dating in a way that like now feels so obvious. But like at the time I was dating people and not having these conversations, like keeping things a little bit lighter, which is great, but then ultimately getting hurt because we didn't align.
I love that. And you, Erica?
I'm like, damn, I have a couple things. Probably one of my top ones is not dating broke dudes anymore. I'll say it. I've dated like a lot of like real broke dudes. And hey, no shame to it. But it like, I've hit the point where it's like, okay, there's like some future things I want. And it's very frustrating to be in a partnership, especially when you have the male-female dynamic, right? I've had like dated people where I was like, no, I want to do this thing and I'll treat. But then we can't do it because they can't pay half. And they won't like accept me treating to it. So it's a very like, it's a stalemate you're in that you're like, okay, I don't like, I'm basically saying, I don't care that you can't afford to do it. I want to do whatever it is. It could just be something as basic as like going to dinner at some nice place. And it's not like this is something that I guess long-term matters, but it's like, it doesn't, it doesn't. It's like, if you really get into a serious relationship, what are your future goals? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see myself staying in like, say New York City. I would want to like buy a house somewhere, right? That's a goal of mine. So if you're dating someone that it's like nowhere near close to those goals, you're just not on the same timeline either.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So,
yeah, it's like no shame to the broke lifestyle. Like I'm a comedian, so obviously I've had many years where I didn't make a ton of money. But I think that's even why I feel it more, is I'm like, I've been someone not making a lot of money and still was able to like keep my shit together and not, I guess, have the same kind of broke-ish problems. I don't know how to like phrase it exactly, but it's just been a frustrating thing that I've had with a few different people. And it's like, yeah, we can all say, you know, oh, it's the person that matters. It's like, okay, but finances are a big stress of a relationship too. And it would always hit that point that it suddenly was like a problem. And it's unfortunately a problem too, like I can't fix, and it has to do a lot with pride. And it's like, they have to figure that out, and you can't figure it out for them. And I'm at a point in my life, I'm like, I'm not going to wait around for you to figure it out. You know what I mean? So I'm like, that's one that sticks out.
Wait, I think that's a valid point, because finances do play a role. At the end of the day, if you're planning to either get married or not, you will be sharing your life with another person, and their credit history, their debt, all of that affects your own. So I completely agree that that's valid. But I do want to ask, because you were saying you've dated quite a few broke guys. How did you know that they were broke, or when did that come to light? Is that a conversation that it just so happened because of the dates that you guys would go on? Because also, go ahead.
You hit a point where they give you a window into what's really going on behind the scenes.
Got it.
You know? And like, it's interesting to say debt, because I'm like, well, a lot of people have debt, and I don't really see debt as a problem. It's more like, how are you living your life and navigating that debt?
Yeah.
It's very frustrating to be like with somebody who is complaining they have no money, but then you see them like not living responsibly in any way, you know, or at least taking steps to change it. I think that's the most frustrating part, is it's like, hey, we all have times we're down or out of work. Like Allie and I both have been out of work for like a few months at a time, like, but we're hustling and we're figuring it out. Where like you see somebody that's out of work and like not at all having that motivation to get it together is really the more unappealing thing. Because, yeah, like, you're in a partnership, it's like, all right, we're going to have ups and downs and layoffs happen. And like, you know, you can't predict the future so strongly, but I've seen a lot of people like be in their own way, essentially, where I'm like, and then as the person they're dating, they don't want to hear it from you either. And I get that. So you just are like powerless in that moment. And it's like, I can't make you change, you know? So it's like, it comes from the money thing, but I'm like, I apply that philosophy to a lot of stuff. It's like, you really can't make people change. Like, you can change their clothes, you can get them a new haircut, you can, you know, do like superficial things like that. And like, you know, most men, when they get a girlfriend, suddenly they start dressing better. But like, you know, but like the core things is really, really hard to change.
Yeah, I've dated a couple people where that was an issue, not necessarily how much like money they had or made or whatever, but just their approach to it. Where like I dated one person who was in a lot of credit card debt, but like just continued to rack it up, like didn't care and was like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, eventually it's going to not be fine. Like these are, this is not Monopoly money. This is like, there are real world consequences to the money you're spending. And if, to your point, Marianne, like if I attach my life to yours, these are going to be my real life problems and consequences. Yeah. And then on the other side, I've also dated people, like you were saying, Erica, about somebody who like complains all the time, but then isn't doing anything about it. I've dated people who had on paper excellent careers that they hated though, and were like constantly complaining about it and bringing a ton of anxiety and stress into their lives and then also mine, but not doing anything about it. And I'm like, that's fine. You don't have to, your job doesn't have to be your passion, but if you're going to complain about it every day and not do anything about it, that's not for me.
Yeah. Right. Then you're like, I'm coming home to someone who's not happy every day.
Yeah. And doing nothing about it.
Yeah. But like a hard truth is like who you marry is one of the biggest financial decisions you make in your life. Mm-hmm. It really is. Right. And it's also like, I think it's also just hitting my 30s. I'm like, it's not cute anymore to be a 35-year-old man who's like, I don't really understand money. I'm like, you know how many resources there are out there? Like, I don't work a finance job, but like I've figured some shit out. Listen to some podcasts, look up some, like figure something out. Like it's not funny anymore. Like it was in our 20s when we're like, we're being adults. This is crazy. What's a 401k? It's like, all right, 35, you should actually look into that a little bit, you know? So it's, I think it's that like unwillingness to change or even learn. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. Do you know how to be a father? No. Do I know how to be a mother? Not really. Like, are you going to be motivated to like learn that and improve that if you're not even motivated with your own money? Like, I don't know. I don't know. It's baffling to me.
It brings a very interesting conversation because I feel like it's going back to the honeymoon phase. It's going back to, you know, this facade that you put on when you meet somebody and then that gray area, and then you pass that gray area. Maybe you guys are exclusive and then you truly see their colors. But by then you are already invested. There are emotions. There is timeline. So then you almost, I don't want to say give them a pass, but you have a softer spot in saying, okay, you have X, Y, and Z, and you know, you try to motivate them. I don't want to know. I don't necessarily think it's changing them, but it's trying to be a supportive partner.
Yeah.
So different. How do you navigate, like you said, you have a specific standard maybe of how you want somebody to approach, you know, their finances, but then how do you navigate that when you see that it's not really what you like, but you are dating this person and seeing, like,
yeah, no, I remember dating a guy and he made a joke about something with like 401ks and not understanding whatever. And in those moments, I feel like I offer a hand to link them to something that they can figure it out. So it's like, I'm still not the one that's teaching them and it has to come from their own motivation. Mm-hmm. Right. And also because especially you're just dating, it's like, yeah, I don't need to sit and you like show me your finances. That's a very personal thing. That's not at all what I'm saying. But like someone that's like, yeah, I don't know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'll say something like, well, I have a Roth IRA and it's partly due to, you know, freelancing and stuff. And I've never had a job that matched a 401k. So I've never had that perk. So I've had to balance like doing some 401k, doing a Roth IRA, whatever. But I'll just be like, yeah, I do have a Roth IRA. Like I add to it every year. That's usually like my main sorts of investing for myself. And then I just say like, you know, I have a financial advisor. If you want to like talk to them and ask them questions, like happy to give you their info. And that's it. You know, they make a comment about something else. I could be like, hey, I really like this podcast. Yeah, they like talk about, you know, different money stuff. What's like, you know, I don't have to name them here, but just like stuff like that where it's like, okay, you have a, you're giving me like a little vulnerability into something. And I'm like, oh, there's these resources that like I like or I use. If you want the info, let me know. And it still puts on that because the motivation's on them. I can't make them do it, you know?
Absolutely. So is this a New York City men type of situation or is this all men? Or also, of course, New York City have, you know, it's a very diverse city and there's, you probably are dating people who are not New Yorkers, right? They could be from a different state, yeah, a different country. Have you seen a certain theme with New York City men? Or is it just like you see each man differently from the way you approach them?
Like in general, right? We're not talking money anymore.
Yeah, yeah, general. Yeah. No, general.
I think, and so I've mostly dated in my adult life in New York, but I've also been on the apps and been on dates in San Diego where my family's from. And so I really have those two points of reference personally. I have seen in general, not just with men, but like more career focus here in New York than elsewhere, and especially than in San Diego. And I think there's a reason a lot of times that people move to a place like San Diego. And I think so a lot of the like careers that are there are like, it's not as much of a central part of people's lives. And I've noticed that sort of permeates dating too, in terms of like what someone's focus is and what their, you know, where their priorities lie.
I asked this because we were talking about money just previously. So I was trying to see if there was a link, because I do agree that New York really, you know, motivates people, and I would assume men as well, to be financially independent and savvy. So I'm curious to know the problem that you mentioned, Erica. Is this just like men in general, or does it have any correlation with dating men in New York City?
I think any like major city.
Okay.
You see the richest of the richest people and the poorest of the poorest people.
Mm-hmm.
It has the biggest gap. And also how cities are run. You know, there was some quote I saw. It was like, the reason cities are liberal is because you interact every day with the people that your choices affect.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, that's like, I've dated some very broke like artist types, because that is what is here, you know, and it's no shame to the game. I'm like, I've also been a broke artist hustling in the city, right? I think overall New York specifically is like a hustle city. So whether you're hustling in an art form or you're hustling in a financial form, you know, in a job that like makes a lot of money. So I feel like there's just the biggest like gap of diversity, you know, as opposed to like certain suburban towns. If you live in a town that's more affluent and you're putting your radius at a smaller radius, like you're probably naturally going to get people with better jobs, probably. And interesting, though, when you ask that question of like, what's the biggest thing I've seen, or I don't know, kind of issue? I actually just think it's a general commitment thing. And I've heard that from every woman across the board in any major city. Because, yeah, so many options. And also the average age that gets married in cities and settles down is older. And I agree with Allie, a lot of it is career focused too, that you're the standard for living is so much higher. So the thought of like, if you want kids in New York City, the amount of money you have to make that like weighs on your mind is just a higher number than if you were in a suburb. So there's also that factor, right? It's like kind of both. Like, is it their fault? Is it not their fault? Because I hear men say all the time, like, I want to have kids, and I want to get married, but I don't right now because my career isn't where it's at. So I feel like all these things are intertwined. But like, if I had to say one thing, I would say the commitment factor is probably the thing I've heard most women complain about, or even me personally. Like, even if I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to have a baby right now, I'm not trying to get married right now, there's still such this fear of like calling someone your girlfriend and only dating one person. And it's, I don't know. I don't know if it's because the career, the number of options, but it's like,
yeah, the options thing, I think, really plays a factor, because it's like the grass is always greener.
Yeah.
Is literally like the person at the table at the restaurant next to you. You're like, oh, it's good. Like, there's like always something happening, and dating apps contribute to this, right? Because it's like literally in your hand that you could just immediately find that next person. And in New York, there are millions of those people. Whereas if you're in a smaller market, it's like, oh, this person in front of me seems great. And like, I'm great. Like, this is it. This person in front of me. And it's just, you know, I think it's harder in cities that way.
smaller communities too, you run into the same people a lot. So there's also, I don't want to say like a better chance of meeting in person, but there's almost a familiarity to it. And also other towns are friendlier and people are just naturally more chatty. So it's like, oh, the like girl or the guy you like keep seeing at the grocery store, at the coffee shop, whatever, which can happen in New York, but it's just more rare. There's also something to that where it's like, oh, you're also branching out of this dating app world. Because in New York, I feel like, or any city, the fact that there are so many options, there's even more pressure on like hitting it off, having a huge spark. Like there needs to be this huge spike of interest to get people to even like notice you or keep that consistency with seeing you, which I feel like is very tough. I don't feel like a spark is necessarily what makes a relationship last, but it feels like that's what a lot of men and women are looking for, is like, you know, how does this date compare to the other 100 first dates I've been on this year? It's crazy.
So true. That what you're saying about meeting in person too really resonated with me, because I think there's such an impact of seeing somebody in person, and that familiarity breeds, like, you like somebody more when you're more familiar with them. Mm-hmm. And you're more likely, I think, to be open to things that are maybe outside of your norm. We talked about this when you were on our podcast, like you're more likely to be mm-hmm. open to things that are outside of your norm if you meet somebody in person, either because you don't immediately know that thing or because you've already kind of like felt a vibe. And so that's probably true too about smaller communities.
Yep, I agree. It's just a lot with New York City and dating and apps and meeting in real life and all that. But tying it back to the city, because my podcast is called The City Confessions, I would love to ask both of you if you can share a confession. And this can be anything and everything. It can be however you receive it. So it can relate to dating, since we've been talking about dating. It can relate to something personal, because you both do have similar careers, but also something separate, you know, individually. So if you can share a city confession, we'll start with you, Erica. What would it be?
Do you edit this? I might need a second. I'm trying to think.
Oh, yeah, go for it. Unless you have one on the top.
Does it have to be dating, Ali, or just a general?
No, it could be anything. Anything that you just want to confess to all of us.
Okay.
Whoever can go first. I know this is kind of like,
well, it's hard as I'm like, what have I not already confessed?
I know, right? Yeah, we like talk about a lot of shit. Yeah.
I'm like, everybody knows I got herpes. Can't say that one.
Like, what have I not told people?
I guess okay. Here's a fear of mine. I'll share a little bit. Not fear. I decided to freeze my eggs. I'm gonna do it this winter. To be honest, it like makes me more sad to do it, because it feels like I'm basically spending $10,000 on a bet that I'm like not going to meet someone, quote, in time. Mm. And like you can look at it either way, right? There's the security of it that I don't have to rush and find somebody. But it almost feels like I know I'm not going to meet someone in the next few years, which then is a sad thought to have. So that's something that, like, I still think I'm doing the right thing as a just in case, but it weighs on me a little bit, you know?
No, I appreciate you sharing that. I do think that's, like, vulnerable and bold to share. I am not in that same boat, but I think it's your perspective as well. Like, as long, you know, I know you're saying it brings a sad part to it, and that's totally valid because that is your experience. But I also believe that you can be freezing your eggs and still be opening to love and relationships and that energy, and both can coexist and still be a positive thing.
Yeah, totally. You can. And I hope that doesn't bring down anybody that's in this process or thinking about it. It's just, I like didn't expect to be, I guess, emotional about it, because it felt like it's just a logical thing to do. I feel like everyone I know is doing it, and it's such a, hey, now you don't have to rush and you have the option. And I'm even just fortunate enough that like I have the money to do it, like that alone. But it's, I guess it weighs on me a little bit with like, oh, I would really like to be with someone though. And it feels like I'm essentially saying it's probably not going to happen, you know? So I got to change my juju around it a little bit.
No, I appreciate you sharing. And Ali, do you have a confession you want to share?
I think that mine is one of the reasons why I've been wanting to meet more people in person is, yes, the dating apps have been burning me out and, like, not, you know, feeling as motivated. But I also, going back to our conversation about how when you meet somebody in person, it feels easier to accept things about them that might not be ideal for you. I think what we do in having a dating podcast and what I do in posting about my dates on social media is not ideal for a lot of people, like in a person that they want to date. And so part one of my confession is that that does worry me, that like talking about dating in the way that I do is a barrier to meeting somebody, because like men, that won't be right for many people. But also I think one of the reasons why I've been so into in-person things is because it feels easier to like meet somebody in person. It's not easier to meet somebody in person, but it feels easier to like, once you do meet that person and you're talking to that person, to introduce that part of me more naturally than like a cold stranger from an app.
I can relate to both, because I'm a podcast host, obviously, but also through social media. And I do feel like when I was meeting people on the apps, it was a side of me that I was a little, I don't want to say ashamed or embarrassed, but I wouldn't blatantly tell them exactly what I did. I would maybe rephrase it or tell them a little later on. Whereas if I meet somebody in person, like my partner, like he knew I wrote a book about dating. And that was something that I didn't have to hide. I was almost like shouting it. So it is interesting that the way you meet somebody, it almost determines how you, what side they see of you from the get-go, right? So
totally. And I feel like the people that I've been meeting, I haven't met any romantic prospects at the stuff I've been doing yet, but part of it's just network expansion. But like the people that I've been meeting, I have felt like are so much more open to that world than like more traditional avenues. And so that's been cool.
Awesome. So we are wrapping up. I have a quick New York City Never Have I Ever dating edition game.
Ooh, fun.
So you don't have to elaborate. Just say if you have or you haven't. Okay. So never have I ever puked in front of a date or like during a date.
Oh, I have.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely have.
Never have I ever blatantly lied on a date, like straight up just like lied in their face, whether it was about something they asked or just it just came up and you just lied.
I have
definitely lied. Yeah,
I want to elaborate.
Anybody who says they haven't is lying.
Yeah, come okay. on, we've all lied.
And never have I ever had a crush on a friend's partner.
Oh,
I really don't think so, because I feel like half the reason female friendships stay friendships is you don't have the same type. You know, like
describe it as a crush. I definitely have friends where I think their partner is like super hot or a great guy, or like I would love someone like that, but I wouldn't describe it as a crush.
Okay.
Yeah, I crush in the sense where I'm like, he's great and I want someone great like him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But not at all like, I want to fuck that guy.
I want that
you
man.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's strange, but.
Man, yeah. I wish he didn't exist. Like, no, that's no. Never.
Okay, never have I ever had sex in public.
I have.
Yeah, college, yeah.
Okay, I'm with you guys. Never have I ever thought about someone else while having sex with, you know, your partner or somebody you're dating.
Oh,
like
yeah,
in a fantasy
course.
Way?
No, like you're literally fucking your, you know, whoever, and you're thinking about somebody else, not a celebrity. I'm talking about an ex or somebody else that you're dating.
I was just thinking about it in a fantasy way.
Yeah, I was like, I've had it where like just someone else pops into your head, but it's never this like, I guess I've been fortunate. I've never been having sex and I'm like, oh, I wish it was like my ex or something. Like I've never had that.
But you had somebody else pop in your head?
I mean, you know, your head fucking, I got ADD.
Your
man.
Head does weird things. You know.
Okay.
You're like, you think about the laundry, all of a sudden, yeah, whoever pumps in.
So yeah, same.
So
same.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, I love that. And we are wrapping up. So I just want to ask one more question about you guys and New York City. So you both have a strong relationship with New York City. And I would just love to know if you can thank the city for one thing, what would it be?
Oh, so forgiving me my life, truly. But I think I would like to thank New York for being whatever you need it to be, whenever you need it to be that thing. Like, one of the things that I love so much about the city is that you can find your people, you can find different people, you can find different things to do. Like, almost whatever mood you're in, New York is like ready to meet you there.
I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you,
I don't know if this is too easy of an answer, but mine is definitely like my career. That it's one of the only places you really can do comedy and make it in comedy and get better, and also see the best comedy all the time. So I'd have to say, yeah, like, comedy was really what made me fall in love with New York. And then through that, I met a lot of friends. I met Allie. I've met you. Like, it's always constantly helped me meet new people for new phases of life, which is really helpful when you have friends that leave the city, they settle down. And it's like, it almost, I like the plethora of it for both comedy and new people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful note to leave off, because that's how I met Allie and obviously you now. So it's great that we did a podcast swap and now we're all connected. So thank you, ladies, for being on my podcast. I'm going to have all of their information in the show notes. I know, Erica, you have upcoming shows, so that's exciting. I'll put that on. And Allie, I'm sure you also have a lot of things going on with your personal coaching and your TikTok and Instagram. So again, check the show notes for all their information, and I will talk to you all next week. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having us.